Welcome everyone to FOSDEM 2022. Welcome to the second last talk of the day. Usually if we were in Brussels at the moment at the college campus, everybody would start maybe queuing in the next 20 minutes for the bus to the train station, to, you know, exiting. So lucky for today is you get to view it from your house or from your home. I'm looking forward to maybe next year coming back into FOSDEM doing a presentation in person. As you can see here, we're doing everything remote and pre-recorded. I'm just using a bit of a video of myself to bring a bit of life to the presentation. There you can see I'm using GUVC view. I'm not too sure how to say it there. So again, if anybody wants to kind of do that, it's an open source project that you can kind of do. And I'm using Impress to do my presentation. So my presentation is on symbols in JavaScript. Now, when I was looking to do a talk about JavaScript, I was looking at a few subjects, and symbols kind of caught my attention because I really didn't know much about them and I hadn't really used them. So I was kind of using this opportunity to kind of investigate them more and explain to everybody how they work. So just a bit about myself. A software engineer for the last 12 years, interested in all kinds of things open source, and I just love cracking down on some internals of the software there. So what we want to do is kind of explore this whole symbols and kind of realize they're really everywhere now. If you see them after this talk, you might have an understanding of what they are, and just have which you can investigate more then. So Symbols kind of introduced part of was a new feature of ES6 or ES or 2015, that's like 6 years ago, 7 years ago now. So they've been around for a long time, and you know, I've never really come across a use case for them in my time. Just haven't explored it there. So really, what is kind of symbols? Symbols are a new kind of primitive type, again, new being like 6 years old, but they were a new primitive type, data type as part of ES6 there. So again, let's have a look at primitive types. You can see here, like, we have all the different primitive types. We have the factory, functions there for string, number, big int, boolean, and you can see symbol as part of that list there in the bit of code. And what we're doing there is just running each of the function factories and then printing them out. And you can see at the bottom there that symbol is recognized as a primitive type. So you can see it's symbol wrapped around the sim keyword there. So really, a symbol is a primitive, which cannot be recreated. Once you run that symbol factory function, that's the only time it will ever be created. Once you move, get rid of that reference, say, the lit symbol, once that disappears, the symbol's gone forever, you know, unless you store it somewhere. Again, if I call symbol sim again on another line, it creates a new unique type. So really, it's just to go back, a symbol is a primitive type that cannot be recreated. You cannot do it. Once it's called once, you have to, when you call it again, it's completely unique. You can think of it like UUIDs, I think. Universally unique identifiers. Do you know, every time you generate them, they don't generate the same one. It's like a fingerprint. They're very unique. So in this case, a symbol is similar to an object, as creating multiple instances will result in values that are not exactly equal. So we'll see in a bit of code there how they're not equal. It's just like memory references. Memory references are very unique for every bit of code you run. And the primitive types cannot be mutated. So that's, you know, symbols are part of that. And you can provide a string as part of a symbol creation. So you can see that bit there will have symbol. And then I have sim wrapped in double quotes. That sim is just a description. I could call it anything I want. I could call it Martin, FOSDEM, anything. It's just an identifier or a description. And it doesn't affect any of the symbol. It doesn't affect what kind of information or uniqueness it creates there. But it's just a description that we can use. I can call that multiple times with the same description, and it will create a new symbol every time. So that's where you can see it doesn't. So so symbols are like UUID is unique. So symbols may be used for unique property keys. So do you know like we have like everything in JavaScript is a object for except for six things like undefined null, number, string, or not string, sorry, and two others there. So the six things are not. So again, an object has keys and values. So again, it can be a unique property key. So again, we want to keep it unique. And a symbol never clashes with any other property key because again, every time you call a symbol, it's a unique value. It can never be clashed with another one. So let's kind of look at kind of using symbols. Again, we'll kind of explore this. So you can see here I have first name, last name. Again, I've used that symbol there, and I've used description, first name, space, or first space name. Again, it doesn't have to be any, it's just a string there. And you can see there I've just logged it as well. So again, when I log a symbol, it always logs symbol, it always logs the symbol bit. With the curly circular brackets and the first name as a description there. And again, you can use the type of there as well to identify if a variable is a symbol there. So we'll print out symbol lowercase then for it then. So they are guaranteed to be unique. Symbols are often used to add unique property keys to an object that won't collide with keys and any other code. So again, you might have some keys, some names you don't want to collide, and that and symbols can kind of make sure that's unique. Okay. So one thing as well about objects, and this is a backward compatibility kind of thing as well, is objects can only have keys that are strings. You cannot use integers. Now, that's what I've kind of read a lot around the whole internet about it. But you can use keys, like you can have keys as integers, but really in the background of it, they're seen as strings. So you can see here we have the different beers we get from Delirium there, and we have the beers, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm using 1, 2, 3, you know, num integers there, and then I've just done another one, fourth, where I'm just using a key four to make a new beer. When I log it, the console log sees them as numbers. It comes out 1, 2, 3, 4, and then I'm actually using then on the eighth line a number then as to get as a key to get it. But you can see here in the objects.keys that actually in the back end it's seen as a string. So really in the back end it's seen as a string. So that's one kind of use case that people say symbols are useful for because you can use symbols and you can use strings, but you can't. Now, the one thing you can do, objects are kind of there for years, is maps. Maps, you're allowed to use integers for them. So they'll be seen as integers, they'll be stored as integers as well. So that's where the map kind of came out of because they needed to have that kind of capability there. So that's quite handy. So just to kind of say as well about, you know, our famous for-in when we want to iterate keys of an object. For backward compatibility, symbols are not seen as keys when using a for-in. That's because you might have a bit of code and as you upgrade to ES6, you might have noticed, you know, when you're looping through all the keys that these symbols came out of nowhere. And then you didn't know have anything to handle them, and your code might crash or throw an exception. So again, what they've done there for backward compatibility is if you use the for in a on an object and it has symbols, the symbols will not appear. You can see there, you know, on in the output there, you know, we have symbol A, B, and then C and D are normal assignments, and they only get printed out there. So I'm using for I an object, and you can see C and D are printed. And then even when I'm using the object.keys, which has been around for years, it doesn't print them out. It only prints C and D. to get a true reflection of the amount of keys that are in the object, you can use the reflect on keys. So that will give you exactly all the keys that are strings and all the symbols, which are also keys there. So you get a true reflection of how many keys there. So just to be aware of that, again, doesn't break any code, and you have the list of keys. So this is, I just want to have a look at symbol methods. So instead of me just copying and pasting them here, you can go on to Mozilla, which is great documentation on symbols here. And you can start to see there's a lot of static properties that are symbols here. And this, the one I'm going to go through is the, the static methods is, just look for here. Yeah, iterator. So iterator, yeah, is a unique reference to the iterator identifier for it. You can think of it like that. So if an object has that symbol as a key, then it knows that the object is iterable there. So again, that's all, you know, useful for of, which I'll show you an example in a second how it's useful there. But again, you can see all these other kind of very useful methods are all referenced from symbols. So again, you can use these as keys, like symbol.search as a key, and then anything that's using that will understand that reference. So again, you can see there's other static methods. Again, we'll go over symbols key 4 and symbol 4 again, and you have all the different types then. But the one I'm kind of interested in that everybody kind of knows about is the iterator one there and how we can use it. Again, we can use the other ones like that. So just want to go presentation. Yeah, so again, we're just going to show like the 4 in iterable. Okay, so normally objects are not iterable. Yeah, the only reason it's iterable in this sense is because we have a key that is a symbol, and the symbol is symbol.iterator. So once it's that, for of finds that key. It's like as soon as it starts to run, it tries to find that key of that symbol. And if it finds it, it means the object is iterable. Now, normally objects aren't iterable because it doesn't have that, because we just have key value pairs in it. So it's not part of this. So you can see here, we've made it iterable and we've made our own function generator, and it yields 1, 2, 3, 4. And the for of works on that object and there. So you can see it kind of prints out. So then we'll show you when it doesn't work then. So again, I have an object. The only thing I've changed is I don't have a key that is a symbol called symbol.iterator. I have a string called iterable. I could have called it symbol.iterator in string quotes, and it still would have been the same thing. And the function fails, the for of fails, because it goes iterable 1 is not iterable because it hasn't found that key, which is a symbol.iterator. So again, that for of is always looking for that. That's the first thing it looks for. Again, that's the thing that was introduced there. So again, you kind of understand that, you know, that's how for of works, has to look for that. So you have that kind of underline and understanding how iterable works. It uses a symbol. Again, you start to see that, you know, symbols are starting to use a few places. I'll show you a few more now. One thing you might say as well is when you run the function factory class, function factory for symbol, is every time you run it, it generates a unique one. So once you lose that unique reference, it's kind of gone. So again, you want some way of obtaining those references again. So you can see in this code here, we have 3 symbols, and I'll go over the symbol.4, that's kind of global one. We do some presentation on that later. But you can see there that, and I have symbol C, which I've called the same. So I have the same descriptor. I just wanted to show you that there could be a problem here. So symbol A equals symbol A, B equals symbol for B, and then C equals symbol A. Now I've used the same descriptor and there for two A and C. I've called them both A, the descriptor, meaning it hasn't affected the value. It's still a unique value, but it, again, down below you might see. So you can use then to get all the symbols. Do you know the way we had earlier reflect.onKeys? That gives us all the keys and all the symbols. So what we can use here, object.getOwnPropertySymbols, is just give it all the symbols of that object. So we might want to iterate through them. We might want to find a reference to a certain symbol that we want to get the value out of. Okay, so you can see here on line 12 then is I have three symbols. Again, that's kind of wrong there. I shouldn't say 4/2. I changed that. But in the output, you can see I'm three there. And then the next line, then I'm printing out all the symbols. So it's an array of symbols then. So A, B, and A again. Again, I've used the descriptor twice there. So then you see on the next line, I'm using the first, I'm getting the first symbol out of that array, which is zero. And again, you see that symbol A there. But what I can do, if I really want to loop through all these symbols and find the one I'm looking for, I can use the dot description property to kind of look for it. Now you need to make sure that your descriptions and your symbols are unique for yourself, so you can find the right one. Because again, I've used A here, and A is used for description for A and for C. So you can see on the line 16, I'm getting the third symbol, and the description is A. Again, it's not unique and there, but again, that's how I envision a lot of people using it, is using the description as a way to get the reference that is the symbol that's stored in the object, and then being able to get the value from that. So that's a way you can kind of get all the symbols and kind of loop through them as well. So one other thing is kind of iterable types. Again, we're kind of going back to the iterable. Iterable types are kind of like all these different ones, set, map, typed array, string, and array. We all know the for each loop, which is only for arrays, but the iterable type is for a set, map, typed array, string, and array. So you can use for of on those because it has the symbol key in it called symbol.iterator. So that's what for of looks for, and that's how it kind of finds it then. So just to prove then, do you know, like one of them has it, has an actual symbol.iterator part of it, is I've just done a bit of code here, is I've done a set, and what I've got done there is I've got the prototype of that set then. So again, we got prototype chaining. So and then on the prototype, I get all the symbols, and I've printed out all the symbols then. And again, it's the symbols is an array, and it's printing me out two string tag and the iterator. So I know then that even if I could run it on a for of on the sets, but I know because it has that symbol that it is iterable. So again, you have that underlined and understanding of how iterable works now. So you can be more knowledgeable of the for